Good morning. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning is where we're going to find ourselves. We're going to finish chapter 3 this morning, and I'm excited for what God has to say this morning. And as I was visiting this morning, there's a pretty, a topic that is pretty much the same with most families here, and that is, you know, school's getting ready to start. For some of us, a couple of our families in here, school has already started on the college level, and just like Tyler was praying, we live in a time of uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds, but we, you know what? The Bible is very clear that we don't need to worry about that, because the Lord is in control, and He's given us this day, today, and not promised tomorrow. It's an exciting time. You know, I'm kind of jealous because this was the longest summer break ever. And it's going to be a big adjustment for all you guys that are starting back school. Some of you are like, we homeschool and we never stop. Praise the Lord. But for those of you that are going back to the public school system, I would just encourage you guys, your kids, your teachers, your administrators. Obviously, we know that we're going to have to be flexible, that things are going to change almost on a daily basis, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But we, as children of God, can we are charged to go and be light. So in the dark, uncertain times, go shine your light. Go shine bright. Blind people with it. Just shine it right in their eyes, and just bring God glory through that. So this morning we're gonna finish chapter 3, and if you haven't turned there, turn to chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. And I got to see my daughter this weekend, and it was only a week, but I think that, you know, dads are the tough, rough, gruff, you know, don't show any emotions. I do, for some reason, but I think I miss my daughter more than my wife misses my daughter, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. And so it was good to see her. She's only an hour away, so it's not that bad. But I think, you know, Shorty had a football scrimmage, jamboree, whatever you want to call it, on Friday, and that was her excuse to come home and support her. But I think that she missed me mostly, and she wanted to see me. So we're thankful for that. So the last two messages out of 1 Timothy that we covered, we were looking at the role of a deacon. We were looking at the character that a deacon should have. We were looking at, we talked about what a deacon's role is. And it's not one to lord over the church or the pastor or to dictate what does and doesn't happen. But the role of a deacon is to be the hands and feet of the pastor, to be a servant, to help, to bear the burden, to serve the people. And there's some character that is required for that office. And we looked at that, and we're not going to spend any time reviewing that. And you can go back and listen to that if you would like to through our website. But one thing I do want to remind you of that I mentioned last week is that those men that are going, God is going to call to become deacons, He's not going to call them and say, hey, we'll work through this thing. We'll teach you and train you. Those that God calls to that office are going to already be doing that. They're going to be serving Jesus. They're going to be serving with their life. They're going to be helping people. They're going to be doing what they're going to be called to do already. And we know that what God calls us to, He's going to get us through, and He's going to equip us to do that. But really, we need to have those character qualities displayed in our lives already. It's laid out. Paul is encouraging Timothy because we know the church in Ephesus was going through some stuff. There was all kinds of false teaching. Excuse me, my throat is all messed up this morning. There was all kinds of false teaching and things going on. And so Paul is writing to Timothy just to encourage him and to instruct him. Hey, this is how we need to handle these things. This is what you need. You need some help. You need some of these men. And this is the character to look for in these men's lives. So We're not going to tarry there long, but this message today, man, it's just so applicable to each of our lives. There's nobody in this room that can't take this. Obviously, when we open the book, you need to take the word and you need to apply it to your life. But this message today, man, we need to take this and we need to get a hold of it and we need to run with it and we need to get busy with it. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, through the end of the chapter is where we're going to be today. Let's read that together. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest not know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Father God, we pray today that we would take your word and God, that we would allow it to penetrate into our hearts and not just into our minds, but into our hearts and change our lives, change our minds, renew us. And God, I pray that we would take this and get out of here with it. If Father, that we wouldn't let your words fall to the ground. Father, that we wouldn't be forgetful hearers, but God, that we would be energized to be doers of your word. God, we pray that you would just speak through me today. God, give me the breath to be able to speak your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to see three things this morning out of our passage. We're going to break this, there's three verses. We're going to break these things down into three things. And those three things are, the first one is Paul's desire. The second one's Paul's charge, and the third one is God's message. So we have Paul's desire, Paul's charge, and God's message. Those are the three simple things that we're going to look at from these verses today. And so the first one, Paul's desire. If we back up to the beginning there in verse 14, it says, "These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." And we know that Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him, to give him some instruction, to be a blessing to him, to instruct him from God's word. And that's exactly what we see here doing. Paul loved Timothy. We know that he loved Timothy. And Paul was blessed to be able to invest into Timothy's life, to come alongside of him and to teach him and to train him and disciple him. And that never stops, as we can see today. God preserved that relationship that we can read today in these pages of the Bible, the Holy Word of God. God preserved that so that we can see, hey, Paul never stopped investing in Timothy. Though he couldn't be there physically with him, he never stopped investing in him. That is what we need to be about. That is what the Church of the Living God is for, so that we can invest in each other, we can equip each other, that we can be trained up so that we can go and do that also, so that we can teach other people how they ought to walk, so they teach them how to have hope, teach them how to have faith, teach them the fundamentals, but then it never stops. Paul desired more than anything to see his brother, to see Timothy. He was like a son in the faith, right? He would love to have just hugged his neck, but he knew and believed God's will in his life and just trusted and followed God wherever he would go, whether that was into prison or whether that was to travel around on missionary journeys. Paul just trusted God. And though he desired and probably would have done just about anything to go and visit Timothy there in Ephesus, he's like, hey, if it's God's will, that'll happen. But if not, I'm gonna give you something here. He hoped to come unto him shortly. If you've ever been blessed to disciple anyone, if you've ever been blessed to invest this book, I'm not talking about teaching somebody how to drive a nail with a hammer. I'm talking about spiritually. If you've ever been blessed to be able to take something from this book and to teach it to somebody else, to come alongside them and to invest that into their life and watch God go to work, you know what I'm talking about here. There's nothing more satisfying, nothing more that should bring more pleasure to you than to see God working in others' lives because of the investment that you've made from this book. And Paul sees that in Timothy. As Timothy was left there in Ephesus and with things going on and bad teaching going on, Paul could see God working in Timothy's life. And Paul could see the investment that he had made and see it working in and through Timothy. And people's lives were being changed. There's something so special. Something so special about having that opportunity. to invest spiritual truth into people's lives. There's something so special about having someone invest spiritual truth into your life. And if you've never experienced that outside of Sunday morning, I'm talking about one-on-one, life-on-life investment. If you've never experienced that, you're missing out. You're completely missing out because it's life-changing. And there's people that could stand up here all morning and testify of that, of the men and women that have invested in their lives, that have helped them along the way, that are still helping them along the way. I'm so grateful for the men that have invested in me and still do to this very day. They would be there no matter what, that would desire to, man, I want to be there to help bear the burden, to help go through whatever you're going through. Paul desired to be there with Timothy in person, but understood God's will far outweighed his desire. And that's where we can get caught up. That's what I desire to hang out with my brothers and sisters. I love to hang out with you guys. I love to do fun things. I love to just be in the presence of you. But what we have to be in tune with is God. We have to be in tune with the Spirit to understand that maybe I can't hang out with Tyler tonight. Maybe I can't go spend time with him because God has other plans for me. God has a different objective for me to accomplish today than to go and hang out with Tyler and drink Dr. Pepper. Maybe there's somebody that God is going to place in my path between now and tonight that I need to invest in, that I need to open the book up, I need to share the gospel with. This is the mindset, church, that we need to have. We need to be in tune with God to where our desires don't overwhelm or overtake His desires and His will. Because they will. Work, school, sports, whatever it is, there's so many things that want to creep in there and they want to suck up all of our time and they want to suck up all of our attention so that we don't have time for God's will in our life. We don't have time to allow God to work in and through us. What we can learn from the Apostle Paul is that he was content. Paul was content with whatever God directed him to do. Paul was a traveling man. He went all over the place. You should study out the life of Paul. Come see Travis because I think you're getting ready to study out the life of Paul in the Bible Institute. You should study out where God took this man and what he did and the churches that were planted, because all he was doing was just being obedient and said, God, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll teach any kind of people group you want me to teach. Paul was a man of contentment. If you read, he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he wrote this. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And what he's saying there is he's like, hey, I'm not writing to you to say, just send me money or send me stuff. But I've learned to rely on God fully. I've learned that wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, that I'm just going to be content. How many of us today could stand up and say, that's me? I would be surprised if very many of us could say that. Because we're not content. We're not content because we all have all of these shiny things and this stuff that's trying to steal that contentment from us. We just need to be content and say, God, I'm content with whatever you have, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, as long as it's for you. So Paul tells Timothy that I've written these things to you hoping that I'll be able to come to you and help you and see you doing the work of the Lord in the lives of those there and that are in Ephesus. It would have just brought Paul so much joy to be able to see that. Paul understood the hardships that Timothy was going through and could potentially face in the future. Timothy had been charged to stay in Ephesus, to take care of the flock there, to face the challenges and to deal with the things that were going on. That false teaching that he had to deal with, Paul gets right into that right off the bat. That's still happening today all over the world. That false teaching has not stopped. There's churches, air quote, churches today that don't preach the Bible. They don't open the book. They don't speak the truth. It's all about man's opinion and what makes us feel good. Sometimes as Tyler was saying, we need a good old chiropractor. You got to go to the chiropractor, bro. I'm just telling you because it's been spoken of many times. We need a good old adjustment. And if you've ever been to the chiropractor before, it's a little bit painful. Sticks his knee up on your hip and grabs a hold of your... Man, I had a good one. And he was brutal. But that pain of getting adjusted brings comfort. It gets everything back in line. It might take a little bit of time. Here's the question I have for you today. When a brother or sister is struggling, whether it be in ministry, in their walk with the Lord, or just in life in general, what is your reaction? Paul understood that Timothy was, there were some struggles going on. What is your reaction when you know a brother or a sister is struggling? What do you do? What is the first thing that comes to mind? Do you pray for them? Do you call them? Do you text them? Do you go see them? Or do you mock and make fun? What is our reaction to that? What do you do about it? Do you hit the road and run the other way? Like, I'm not getting involved in that problem. Or do you get on the road and head straight into the battle? I have some verses that I want us to look at this morning. The first one's in Psalm chapter 133. Psalm 133, verse 11. It says this. That is not true. That is a misprint. Verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. How special is it for us to come together, not on Sunday mornings, on a Monday afternoon. Grab a cup of coffee and just come together and edify one another, to encourage one another. Man, how special is that? How pleasant is that? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. It says this. We'll just back up to 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up their fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's important to have other people in your lives. Some of us like to be hobbits. Some of us like to not get out of our comfort zone and open up to other people. Some of us don't want people coming into our lives and getting all up in our business. But it's important. We need that so that when trouble does come, we can call our brother, we can call our sister, we can call on them, and they're there for us. So that we can withstand the wiles of the devil that are coming guaranteed into each one of our lives because he's seeking to whom he may devour. He's lurking about around every corner. But what if you had somebody that was with you that could help hold you accountable, that could be there for you when you fall, that can help you back up? It's important. We need that. Proverbs 27:17 talks about an iron sharpeneth iron. We need to rub together. Right? We need that. Friction brings sharpness. Annie hates it when I sharpen the knives in the house because she hates that sound. But that's what it sounds like. When we come together and we rub against each other, it makes a sound like no other, but it's sharpening us spiritually. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. I know we're all over the place here, but bear with me. Philippians 2, 4, I'm just going to read it. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't be self-centered. Don't be self-focused. Paul was not self-centered and Paul was not self-focused. Paul was all about helping the brethren. He was all about helping other people. We need to be that. Take your eyes off yourself. Start putting them on the world. We live in a world that needs hope. We're surrounded by believers that need hope. Because things might be going haywire in their lives. Things might be crazy. Things might be falling apart. And yes, they have eternal security in Jesus Christ and will spend eternity with Him. But what about right now? What are we doing to help brothers and sisters out? One more, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. I know I'm fast, but we got to get where we're going. 1 John 3:17. But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When we see a brother or sister struggling and we say, sorry, Charlie, I don't have it to give. When you do, man, where's the love of Christ in that? What are we doing? We need to hit the road and run towards them. And I know there's no circumstances that we shouldn't get involved in. But there are. There's things that, you know, we do everything that we possibly can do, but we don't want to be an enabler as well. Paul desired to be there with Timothy, to help him as a young pastor was struggling with some things in the church. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul desired to bear some burdens with Timothy. He hoped he could go there and just help him and be a servant to him even. To help bear some burdens. Paul's love for Timothy was a huge thing, and his desire to continue to invest in him, man, it far outweighed the issues at hand there in the church. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How are we loving others as Christ loves us? How are we displaying Christ's love through our lives to other people? How are we doing that? Are we willing to sacrifice some time, 5 minutes, to show some love to someone else? Oftentimes we are faced with a brother or sister that's having a hard go at things and we have zero desire to be with them. Zero desire to get involved in anything that's going on in their life. We don't want their problems. We don't want their problems to become our problems. So we neglect the opportunity to bring God glory out of those issues. Paul tells Timothy he deeply desires to come and see him, but in this case, if it's not God's will, you know what? I'm just going to write you a letter. Like I said earlier, how often do we pick up the device that we waste so much time on that we stick in our back pocket so that we can pull out and look at whatever? How often do we use that device to dial a phone number and call someone and encourage them? Or ask them how they're doing. Or text them. Or God forbid we write someone a letter or a card. Right? That costs 50 cents. A stamp is 50 cents. God forbid that we do that. How often do we ignore God? Paul was in tune with the Holy Spirit. He was in tune with God and continued to invest what he had started in Timothy's life. And I want to read one more verse to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read to you. It's Romans 15:1. You can turn if you want. Romans 15:1 says this. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Not every one of us find ourselves in this situation. Not every one of us have a super strong faith. Not all of us are super strong in our relationship with God. Not all of us are able to bear the infirmities of the weak. But if we're able and capable, and man, we need to be doing that. We need to be about that. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Ought to help those that are in sin. Help those that are struggling. Help those that are dealing with things that are out of their control. We need to be there. We do. We can learn so much from those around us from those that have paved the way, like the Apostle Paul, those that have paved the way, like some amazing missionaries and church planters and amazing just regular believers that have paved the way for us. We can learn so much from them. Paul was a human, just like you and I. I don't know, he wasn't like some alien. He was a normal dude that was saved by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus as he was a rotten, no good sinner, just like you and I were before we met Jesus. And then God changed him and made him a new creature and gave him a new purpose. And man, he ran with it. All too often in the world that we live in today, we don't see that in people's lives. We don't see radical conversions. We've seen many radical conversions in this body of believers here. I've seen it all over the world. But oftentimes, people are just looking for that Band-Aid. They're looking for that Band-Aid to cover up the bleeding wound because the blood won't stop pouring out, so they need a Band-Aid to put on it. And then you know what happens? Eventually, that wound heals up and the blood goes away, and they rip the Band-Aid off and they go back right into the whatever. They go right back into getting all cut up again. God is not a Band-Aid. He will fix our problems. He will heal us. But He desires to have intimate relation with us. He desires to fellowship with us. He doesn't desire just to fix our problems once in a while when things go bad so that we can go running back off into the world. He desires our whole everything, our whole life. So we're challenged by Paul's actions here to be proactive. One thing that we cannot miss from this verse, like I said, was the word hoping. He understood that there was a possibility, a pretty good possibility, I would say, if he wrote this in his letter to Timothy, that there was a pretty good possibility that there would never be a chance for him to lay his eyes on Timothy ever again. And he was okay with that. Though his heart was probably broken and torn, he was okay with that. Because he knew that Timothy was secure in his relationship with Christ. But man, he desired it. He desired it so much. I have brothers and sisters on the other side of the world that, man, I would do anything to be able to just see them, right? To talk to them face to face. To have a meal with them. That may never happen again, right? That's becoming more of a reality every day. But man, it would be sweet. Our second thing here is Paul's charge in our text. In verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This is the second thing. Paul's charge here, Paul understood, and he obviously, we've beat this with a dead horse, the possibility of never getting the opportunity to see Timothy. But he says here, if I tarry long, that Timothy would ought to know how he ought to behave, right? That Timothy would take what he had learned, what had been invested in him, and continue applying that to his life, and continue doing what he ought to be doing, bringing God glory. You know, like I've said in many occasions before, it's really easy to act good for the hour or 2 hours that we're here on Sunday morning. Everybody's in their best behavior, in their best dressed clothes, whatever we put on this show. It's easy for a couple hours. There's no opposition. Just a bunch of believers coming together. But what about all the other time? Let me remind you of something that we are the church. People confuse that oftentimes, especially with New Life, because we don't have our own building. And they say, "You don't have a church?" Yeah, I have a church. You should come meet them. They're amazing. They're amazing individuals, and we gather together. But people associate the church with the building. And this is just a brick building, and I don't know if you know anything about brick buildings in Clinton. They can fall down, right? And I don't mean that in any way light. But it's just a building. This is just a shelter for us to gather in that we can turn the air conditioner on and we can gather together and stay out of the rain. We are the church of the living God. He lives in the believer. That is us. And I know that most of us know that. The body of believers is what makes up the church. And we are God's church everywhere we go. So how do you act outside the walls of this brick building? how do you do life when we're not around? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22 says this. I'll give you some time. I know I'm flying through those. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. It says, now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Once separated from God himself, mankind, we were all separated from God, born into this world, separated from him for all of eternity. Now, justified by faith in the finished work of the cross, we are not separated from God anymore. And God fits us together perfectly. The gospel made us new creatures and given us a new residence, a new home. And it's not here. It's not. We can invest everything that we have, our time, talent, and treasure, into this temporary residence that we have right here in Clinton, Missouri, in Henry County, Missouri, wherever you live. We can spend everything, all the time, everything that we have, investing in that, and it's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. Faster than you could even imagine. Our new home is in heaven. Our residence, right, is in heaven. Not here. Though, yes, we desire to have a nice home and nice things and all of that, but it cannot outweigh the understanding that this is temporary. Once a foreigner, now a permanent resident. Many of us have visited foreign countries, and though it's an amazing thing, we do not have the same rights as those that are locals there, that are citizens of that country. We can't do everything that they do. We can't go everywhere that they go. And we're visiting on a temporary basis. Our relationship with Christ is not like that. The world that we live in, those that are separated from him, that have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, don't have access to him. They're separated from him because of their sin. But he's offered that access to the world. And our jobs as citizens is to invite people to him, to tell people about him, to introduce them to him, to bring them to a point where they understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was for them, not just for us, not for just the citizens that are there now, but for everyone. And the borders are open for people to come in. That's God's desire. And it's our duty as citizens of heaven to do that. So, church, this is a gathering of the saints. This morning, we do that to grow in the name of Jesus. We do that for fellowship with one another. I love seeing each of your faces every Sunday morning, and every time that I can see you, I love that. We are called to gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do this, but it does not happen just on Sundays. Maybe you're in a boat of an unlearned believer. You don't know how to act. You have no idea how to have victory. You have no idea how to deal with false teachers or those that are making your life hard. Maybe you need a Paul in your life. Maybe you need somebody to come rolling up into your life and come alongside you and to encourage you. You need that. Not maybe. You need that. God has entrusted the church with the most precious thing that could ever be given, and that's the gospel. And we need to get that out of our backpacks. We need to get that out of our backpacks. Because we carry it around, kind of hidden, right? Maybe in a napkin in our pocket. And we don't pull it out very often to show someone. Though it's the most precious prized possession that we hold, because it's what's made us a new creature, we keep that thing all hidden and protected. And then we pick and choose who we're going to show it to. We pick and choose who we're going to speak to about it. When we need to get that thing out and let it be a what is it? Bling, right? Big shiny thing around our neck, right? Big old gold chain that says, I have the gospel and I want to tell you about it. But that makes us uncomfortable because people judge us and reject us. Let me just encourage you, and this is something that I've had many brothers encourage me about. They're not rejecting you. They're not trying to do anything against you. It's Christ. They're rejecting Jesus Christ himself. But yet we take it personal. We take it like they're rejecting us. We're just messengers, right? Don't shoot the middleman, right? We always say that. Don't shoot the messenger. But we have the most precious message that we need to be getting out, that we need to be telling people about, that we need to unleash on the world, because we're the church of the living God. And Paul is charging Timothy here, hey, obey yourself how you ought to be obeying. Do what you know is right and get the truth out, because that's what's going to change the land that you live in. God's desire. Let him do it. It's our reasonable service. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He desires to open wide our mouth and to speak through us. He desires to use you as a vessel of honor and speak the words of life. To every man that crosses in front of you. I shared a passage a while back about something that God really showed me when I was in Kathmandu, Nepal. As I was getting ready, I think I've shared this many times, but God just always brings it back to my remembrance. It's out of Jeremiah chapter 1. When we use the excuse of, I don't know what to say. What if you just let God say it? What if you let God just speak through you? What would that look like? If you just got out of the way. Are you in tune with him? Do you trust him to do this? Paul did, and he continued to teach Timothy to do the same thing that we read today. You know, this is something that God showed me out of this. Is that though Paul desired to be there with Timothy and to help him each step of the way. When something came, that he could be there to help him and show him and teach him, hey, this is how you handle this, this is how you handle that. But this could have hindered Timothy's growth. If Paul would have been there to hold his hand the whole time and say, come on, Timothy, I'll show you how to do this. I'll show you how to overcome this. I'll show you. It could have hindered Timothy's growth. And that happens in each one of our lives. There's a time where we have to step out, right? There's a time in my life right now, physically, I have a great picture of that with my daughter because I just want her to, hey, just stay home. Just drive to school each day so you can be there so I can protect you so that I can help you when something happens. And God reminds me of, hey, you got to let go. You got to let them grow. You got to let them make mistakes. Though we know, gosh, I know the answer to that, and I know how you can avoid that. I know how that we can keep that from happening in your life. God reminds me, do you remember when you learned all of these things and that you're still learning, and it takes a little bit of pain and heartache to go through that? This is exactly what's happening here. God wants Timothy to grow and become his own man. To be used by God. And though Paul probably wouldn't have hindered that, that could have been a possibility because Timothy could have used Paul as a crutch. That happens all over today. We use each other as a crutch. We pull somebody in to get involved in something with us so that we can shove all that minutia on them so that we can just say, oh, yes, help me. Here it is. You know what? I'll just let you run with this time. And we don't grow at all. And you know what happens before you know it? Man, we're down here and the other just keeps on growing. It happens all the time. This could have been the whole reason for Paul physically being kept away from Timothy for both their goods so that Timothy could grow and be stretched and to rely on God alone. We need each other, but we need God far more. The third thing is God's message. God's message has never changed. It never will change. It's the same yesterday, today, and it will be the same tomorrow if God gives us tomorrow. God's desire for mankind has also never changed. He created man for his own pleasure in perfection, right? Out of the dust of the ground, God created man perfect. In their own image, God created man. Nothing short of perfection, because that's all God could create. And what brings God pleasure? To see his creation bring him glory and reproduce. The message is same today. Creation was made in perfection and then was messed up by man. Sin entered into the world and it's been passed through the bloodline ever since. The same sin-tainted blood that was in Adam when him and Eve fell in the garden is in us today. We're born with that. We can't help that. We can't change that. That's how we are. Cute little babies that's about to pop out of Jenny's womb is going to be born a little sinner. The same sin-tainted blood that Adam had from the garden. And Lord willing, man, that baby will place, when he comes to understand the gospel, will place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that can all be changed. That sin drives a wedge between us and God, and there's nothing that we can do about it. No good deeds, no special potions, no magic words, no abracadabras. Nothing we can change that. Only God can make a way out of this. And we all know that the answer is Jesus. We know that. Man-made sacrifices are good for maybe a short season, temporary. They wear off. But God-made sacrifices are eternal. He had to sacrifice his only son. Jesus Christ had to be sacrificed. Jesus Christ, like I said, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The same one that saved your grandfather's grandfather is the same one that saved you today. The gospel has never changed and it never will. This mystery is still being revealed to mankind to this day. The mystery is something that was hidden aforetime that is made known. And you know what? There's people in this world today that do not know the gospel. It's been hidden from them because of the sin in their life. How are they going to hear it without a preacher? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Those that are around us that don't know Jesus Christ, that don't know the gospel, how is it going to be revealed to them? I would say every single person in this room today has somebody in their family or that's very close to them that does not know Jesus Christ. That does not know the gospel. That probably could not even tell you what the gospel is. I would be willing to bet that all of us are in the same boat. I am. I know for a fact I am. How are they going to hear it? How is this going to be revealed to them if we don't tell them? We have God's message. We are his messengers, but yet we don't use the opportunity that God has given us. What would you look like today if somebody didn't reveal the gospel to you? Where would you be at today? What would you be doing? Praise God, we don't dwell on that. Praise God that we've been made new, but what if you would have never heard the gospel? You wouldn't be here today. We know that. Maybe some of you wouldn't be alive today. Jesus didn't come to live, be betrayed, die, and be resurrected for a select people group, not just us. This is it. He came to the world to seek and save those which are lost, which is, man, a lot of people. And it's our job as believers to spread that to the world. I preach this all the time, but are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we actively engaging in battles? Are we taking this? And telling the world about it? I miss opportunities. Why? Because I'm not paying attention, I'm not in tune with the Lord, I don't want to. I could tell you a billion excuses, but none of them mean a hill of beans. A missed opportunity can mean eternity in hell or heaven for somebody. And if we think about it like that, that should be really heavy on our hearts. And man, that should really change us, is if we come in contact with, and I've missed so many opportunities, and I will give an answer for that one day. Why didn't you tell somebody the gospel? Why didn't you tell this person when you had an opportunity? Well, God, I was so occupied with things that were going on in my life, I just didn't have time. This should bring us grief. It brings me grief. It brings heartache. The what ifs. But we don't have to live with those. We just need to be bold and worry about pleasing the one that matters. Tyler used to always say, and still says to this day, that we need to charge hell with a squirt gun. But I'm a super firm believer that we need to call 911 and get the biggest fire hose and charge hell with the fire hose. Have you ever seen one guy try to hold a fire hose? It's, man, it's hysterical. But just grab a hold of that thing and charge the gates of hell with that thing and start igniting or extinguishing the fire. Use it to just blast people out of the way, to keep them from going to hell. Take the gospel and let it change people's lives. It's going to be messy. It's going to be painful. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be not so awesome. But what if we just focused on that? What if we focused on the telling people, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. If you just tell somebody that and then show them how He changed your life, oftentimes we can so overcomplicate the gospel. Yes, we need to understand that we're a sinner. We're separated from God because of that sin. But God made a way. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to God but by Him. Jesus Christ said these words Himself. What a bold statement that God said, right? Go tell somebody that today. Go tell somebody, hey, I have a message and I need to be a messenger. I want to tell you something, and just do it. Don't worry about what they're going to think or what they're going to say. Just be a deliverer of the message and let God do the work. You can't save anybody, but you can sure give them a chance to be saved by the King. Father God, we pray today. God,